Look at John chapter 4, verse 23. John chapter 4, verse 23. We always talk about John chapter 4, verse 24. We don't talk about the 23rd verse very much. We're going to call this lesson tonight the challenge of worship. We've worshiped him in song up to this point. You know, during the time man's been on the earth, he's always tended to worship something, whether it be Jehovah or whether it be something that he's made. Many people purpose to worship the true God. They want to worship the true God. But think of people. Just think of people in the religious world today. They don't worship God like his word directs. They're weak. This causes to be sinful. They're limited in their knowledge concerning worship and the power of God. And they attempt to pay acts of worship or reverence to God, but they don't do it according to how he outlines it in the scriptures. It's not easy to be a true worshiper of the true God, because you've got to put everything you have into it. Psalm, study, prayer, Lord's Supper. The challenge of worship is seen in our lives. Because there are people today in our country that worship God not according to Scripture, but according to the way they want to worship. How it feels to them. Does it feel good to them? Are they doing it for entertainment, or are they doing it to worship the true God? Sad to say, a lot of people today are doing it for entertainment. And this is why churches, big churches, have big numbers, because people are entertained. Such as Jim was talking this morning about this congregation going to have the Easter Bunny today. But we have the possibility of not worshiping God right. Just because you worship God doesn't mean you worship God correctly according to his word. First of all, let's look at the possibility of ignorant worship. Now look at Acts 17. Now, Paul goes into Athens, and it's Athens, Greece, and those people were very religious. But he noticed something in verse 23 of Acts 17. He said, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom you ignorantly worship. Him I declare unto you." Now the Greeks had all kinds of gods. They had the sun god, the moon god. But they had put up this altar, and it said, to the unknown God. Now that was in case they forgot a god. And he said, now you worship him ignorantly. You're worshiping a statue or an altar, said Paul. And he said, I'm going to declare unto you Jehovah, the true God, the God that made you, the God that made the heavens and the earth. Paul is one of the intellectual centers of the day. Athens, Greece had already produced Plato, Socrates, Aristotle. We've all heard of them. We've heard of them in Greek literature. However, relative to worship, these people in Athens were ignorant. Why were they ignorant? Well, they were people that were well educated, but they didn't know how to worship. Right, Joe? Human efforts at worship must have divine direction. How do we get divine direction, Joe? Through the Word of God. By the Word of God being given to us. And God has a particular way he wants to be worshipped, and not according to how we want to worship him. The people in Athens did not know God, and therefore they could not worship him correctly. Paul had to convince them of God's existence, first of all, and his reality, that God was real. You remember that song, God is real. God is real. God is why you and I are here tonight. We're the product of His creation. The world is a product of His creation. God made the world. God made man. So therefore, God is to be worshipped like He wants to be worshipped, not according to how we want to worship Him. Because people cannot worship God that they know, they do not know. How can you worship God according to how He wants you to worship Him if you don't know, if you don't know Him in the first place? This was a problem at Athens. These people did not know the true God. They worship a God, but they worship idols. Idols. Ignorance is now no excuse for worshiping God ignorantly. If you have your Bible still open to Acts 17, drop down to verse 30 and 31. Paul talked about this. He says to those people in Athens, he says that at the times of this ignorance, God winked at. What's he talking about? He said that's in the Old Testament and before. He said, but since Jesus has come, He's risen from the dead, he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He commands you, He commands me to repent if we need to repent. Because He hath appointed a day. Now notice He said a day. The day's already been set for judgment. God knows when it's going to happen. We don't know. The day's been set. And what's going to happen on that day? Paul said, in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. That's Jesus Christ, the one that's risen from the dead. Whereof He hath given assurance to unto all men that He had raised Him from the dead. Paul said, I know that there's going to be a day. And this day, you have to give an account of how you worship God. Verse number 2. The peril of vain worship. What's vain worship? Empty? Doesn't mean anything? Now let's look at Matthew chapter 15. Jesus addressed this issue. Verses 8 and 9. Now He's talking about people worshiping Him and how they react toward Him. He says, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth. In fact, this is a quotation from the book of Isaiah. He said, in time of Jesus on the earth, the people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. They say they worship me, said Jesus. But the heart is far from me. They don't do it as God wants them to do it. But in vain, empty, doesn't mean anything. Do they worship me, teaching for doctrines? Or doctrines is teaching. The commandments of men. See how it goes back to man. Not according to God. Jesus didn't say according to the commandments of God. He said according to the commandments of men were these people doing it. And particularly in His day, the Pharisees and the scribes were struggling with tradition. They had tradition on their mind. They didn't pay any attention to what Jesus said about how to worship right before God. Some traditions are harmless in our time, even in our time. We have traditions because it's beneficial health-wise to wash your hands before you eat, isn't it? But this became an issue in Matthew 15. Look at verses 1 and 2. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees. Here are the leaders, the religious leaders of Jesus' day. He says, which were of Jerusalem saying? Now they had all the answers. And they had all the, anytime anybody did anything wrong, they would tell Jesus, or ask Jesus, why do your disciples do it? Here's a case right here. Verse 2. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? They didn't say the law of God, did they? They said the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread. They were making an issue of it. Now, some tradition bring people in conflict with God's will also. Now let's look at verses 3 through 6 of that chapter. Now let's look, see how Jesus handled this. They raised a question here. Verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? By what you do, you're transgressing God's law, he says. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die to death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father and mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honored not his father and mother, he shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Jesus condemned them by their traditions, and not going strictly by the word of God. These people were not right in their hearts under God. They were looking for a way to escape God's commands. They was trying to get Jesus to in trouble with the people, with the common people, but Jesus turned it around on them. Vain worship we talked about. Empty, worthless worship. If you don't worship God correctly, you might as well stay home. Because God is not going to accept vain worship. He's not going to accept ignorant worship. He wants us to worship Him like He's outlined in His Word. The problem was not the direction of the worship. The worship was directed to God. The worship came from lips, not from the heart. That's the problem. That's the problem. People won't worship God according to the way they want to worship Him. These people were governed by the commandments of men. They had made their own laws. They had made their own set of rules. And they were going to abide by even if it meant in conflict to the will of God. As Jesus said, by their tradition have they sinned. And they didn't obey the commandments of God. And that's what put Jesus on the cross too, folks. Because He was not popular with the people of His day, the Jews, particularly the leaders of the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, that they wanted to do and worship the way they wanted to worship and not according to the way Jesus wanted, taught them how to. They didn't want to listen to Jesus. And so they were trying to get Him out of the way so they could keep on doing what they've been doing for years and years and years. There's another worship that God don't approve of. Number three, the problem of will worship. Will worship. Colossians chapter 2, verse 23, Paul talks about this kind of worship. He says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in honor to the satisfying of the flesh. He says, you show what appears a act of wisdom in will worship. You say you're humble about it. You say you're worshiping God in spirit and truth. But what do? They neglect the word of God. And they worship God the way they want to worship Him. And that's what Paul's talking about. Will worship may be impressive to men. And it is impressive to men because, again, that's the reason these churches, some churches today are full because they worship God according as entertainment. And not as we're doing tonight. Because will worship places the emphasis on externals, on the outward, not on the inward. Because, let's go back to Colossians 2:23. He says, which thing indeed of sure wisdom in will worship in and humility in neglecting of the body. You neglect what God has told you how to worship. And in doing that, you satisfy your own desires, your own flesh. And people leave that assembly and they say, what a great worship service. Why? Because it was entertained. They felt good when they left. Worship is not to make us feel good. It's to make us worship God. We worship God to honor Him. That's what worship is. Worship is not for us to feel good when we leave here. Of course, we should feel like that we have done the best we can in our worship to God, but our worship is directed toward God the Father. Will worship is designed by the will of man instead of being directed by the will of God. Let's contrast will worship with worshiping God in truth. Now let's go to John 4:24. John 4:24. We all know this passage. It's been used many, many times in sermons, in classroom settings. Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must, he didn't say maybe, or you can, or you have the opportunity, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. Must. Underline that word in the Bible. Must. We must worship him in spirit and truth. If we do that, we're doing according to the will of God. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. You remember Cain and Abel. They both brought sacrifices to the Lord, to God, didn't they? Abel's sacrifice was accepted to God. And God took his sacrifice. Cain's worship was will worship. And God says, he denied his worship. Later on, you remember that they were out in the field, and Cain killed Abel because of his, God had not accepted his offering. Let's look at another case in the Old Testament. Look at Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. The case of Nadab and Abihu. Now these were sons of Aaron. Aaron was the high priest. And these boys should have known better to do this. But they worshiped with will worship too. That passage says, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them a censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Strange fire before the Lord. God didn't say anything about that to them. He had his directions, and they knew what they should do, but they chose to do it their own way. And people today are using strange acts of worship before God, and God is not accepting that today. God has always in his word told men how to worship. He has always demanded that people live in submission to him in the area of worship, so they can show honor to him in worship. Joe has led us in these Psalms ably tonight. And we're not here to sound good. We're not here to make us feel good. We're here to worship God in spirit and in truth. The possibility of ignorant, vain, and will worship tonight, as we have outlined, shows how difficult it is for people to be true worshipers. People today don't really want to be true worshipers. They want to worship how it makes them feel. This lesson surely shows why the lessons on the subject of worship is so important. Because worship is serious business in our lives. This could be the last worship service you ever attend tonight. And even you go up before Jesus on the judgment day, are you going to hear him say, depart from me because you did not worship correctly before God? True worship comes from true worshipers who worship God according to his direction in a meaningful way. True worshipers. Everybody that attended services this morning, tonight, are not all true worshipers, because they don't worship according how this book, the Bible, is outlined. So the challenge of worship is presented to you. It's presented to me. Each time we meet, we're to take worship seriously, and we're to know that we're here for no other reason but to worship God in spirit and in truth and not by tradition. I hope this lesson has been beneficial to you in worship tonight. If there's some here that need to respond to the invitation, you know that you hadn't been living right before God and you need to repent of sins in your life, now is the time to do it. You're here, you're interested in spiritual matters, but be sure, as Joe leads us in this song, hark the gentle voice of Jesus. Don't let that gentle voice pass you by tonight. If you need to respond, we encourage you to do so while together we stand and sing. Will you come?